Jumping into a new series as we get ready to start Lent called the Inside Out Kingdom. And before we get going, I want to address the elephant in the room. And that is that clock on the back wall is 8 minutes fast. I just want you to remember that when we get to the end of the service and you're thinking that preacher sure is long-winded. That thing is 7 to 8 minutes fast. Okay. It is true. He is not wrong. All right. So as we get ready to jump in this morning, we're going to be talking about the kingdom of heaven. And the children's ministry moment had a wonderful tie-in and a wonderful way to go ahead and start thinking about this. But we're going to be talking about what it looks like to be the kingdom of heaven, to be a part of the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven, whatever you may have called. Some people will call it the reign of God, right? And or some people call it the kingdom of heaven, if we're trying to be inclusive in that way. But we just call it the kingdom. And so we're talking about the kingdom of God. And when we begin to think about the kingdom of God, a whole lot of things come up. But the honest truth is that it's a weird kingdom. It's a weird place to be a part of. Instead of gates and walls, we have open doors, right? Instead of shields and spears and guns, we have a basin and a towel that we use to wash feet. Instead of saying, you've got to go to the market to get your food, we say, come here and we'll give you whatever you need. Now, sometimes we try to make it about laws and rules, but the honest truth is that we're supposed to be ruled by love and by grace. It's a different kingdom. It's one that doesn't really make sense to us. It's one that leads the one who would lead it and reign it to say that he is going to be the servant of all. Instead of coming down off the cross and showing the power and the ability to reign and to rule and to conquer and to take and to make one's will known and impose it. I mean, that's what a kingdom does. That's what a nation does. That's what makes them strong and great. Instead, Jesus says, do to me whatever you will, and then ask for forgiveness for the ones who do it. It's a strange kingdom. It's a strange thing to be a part of. It means that we have to take our selfish and initial inclinations and begin to examine them and say, is this something that I want to do because of my flesh, or is this something I want to do because this is the part that God has given me? Does this match the way I would understand the kingdom of God? And before we begin to dive into that, I was going to share with you just a little bit personally as we get going that, I mean, you know this, but this has been a really strange year for me. It's been about 7 months going back from July from being diagnosed and having brain cancer and then having the surgery and the treatments and everything that goes into it. And I got to be honest, I don't like it. I mean, I just don't like it. I would put it in the category of hate it, right? And mean that with all gumption that's absolutely possible. And it's this weird thing because you spend the early part of your life focused more on the outside than the inside. Now, of course, we try to shape character. We try to shape all those things. And as parents and grandparents and as coaches and teachers and as people a part of the church and community, you know that in young people, we're trying to shape their character and what's on the inside. We even tell them things, right? Like it's what's on the inside that matters. But then we seem to focus on the outside, how we look, how we present, where we go, what we do, how successful we are, whatever it is. And you spend the early parts of your life looking more at the outside than the inside, but then there comes a time where the inside begins to need more treatment. If you just eat whatever you want and only worry about how it makes you look on the inside, there comes a day where what's happening on the inside has to be addressed too. And it was really weird for me to be fine on the outside and to be sick on the inside. It was really weird to feel like everything was okay, but to know that I was very sick. It was very strange to think that I could just go on being like this for as long as who knows how long, but eventually it would come to a point where it was irreparable. Because you see, what was on the inside had to be dealt with. And it still has to be dealt with. I had treatments Monday through Friday this week, and I've got 5 more months of those. Right? It still has to be dealt with. But it helps shape us and understand the kingdom of God a little bit better. I really think it does. There's another one to make it not so serious, to make it a little more fun. There's a story, perhaps you've heard it. It's probably a preacher story and it's probably not true at all. But there's this story about a hundred years ago, there were these two steamboats leaving Memphis, and they were going down to New Orleans. Have you heard this one before? No, good, because if you said yes, I wasn't going to stop. All right? just like these steamboats. And so they were headed down to New Orleans. Now, they were captained by young gentlemen, and they were crewed by young gentlemen, and they were looking across the river at each other as they were going, and one of them would start to get ahead of one, and the other one would look at each other, and they would speed up a little bit and start to get ahead of the other one, and then the other one would speed up, and then the other one would speed up, and eventually they were racing down the Mississippi trying to beat each other to New Orleans, right? But the thing is they only had enough coal to take a normal pace. They didn't have enough coal to race each other. Those are very different things. And so they take off, and as they're going down the river, they begin to run out of coal. And one of the boats decides they're going to back off and conserve what they have, and they're going to make it. But the other boat is full of successful, ingenious, inventive young men. And they begin to take the cargo from the boat and throw it into the furnace, and they figure out it burns just as good as coal. They didn't even look in the boxes, but it burns. And when they ran out of that, they began to pull up floorboards and pieces of the boat, and they began to shove them into the furnace, and they ran and they ran, and they beat the other steamboat there by days. And when the other steamboat gets there, the young men are waiting, gloating, hands on their hips, before the policemen come and arrest them for destroying all of the property inside the boat. Now, it's just for fun, but even in the midst of this race, this life, where we're worried about what's on the inside, and we're worried about competition and success, we're worried about what we look like and what other people think about us, it's what's on the inside, turns out, that actually matters. Luke 17, 20 through 21 says this: Pharisees asked Jesus when God's kingdom was coming. And Jesus replied, God's kingdom isn't coming with signs that are easily noticed, nor will people say, look, here it is, or there it is. Don't you see God's kingdom is already among you? Now, I want you to hear this morning. This is amazing because, you see, we tend to think of the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God of being something that's going to happen when we die. As a matter of fact, we're making deposits now. We're buying that insurance policy now so that we're taken care of, so that one day we eventually get to this place where we get to be a part of the kingdom of God. But if you remember, the call of Mark to repent and believe the gospel, the call of John to repent and believe the gospel, and the one thing that Jesus taught the most about was that the kingdom of God is near, and then Jesus changes it and says the kingdom of God is here. It has already happened. Now, it's not to say that there's not heaven one day, but what we're saying is that Jesus came to make this world the kingdom of God. That Jesus didn't come and say this special prayer so that one day you get to go to heaven. Jesus came and said, say this prayer, be a part of my kingdom, follow me, be like me, live and make this world the kingdom of God. Now, I have a question for you, and I want you to answer this. We're going to do this popcorn style. You can just throw it out. What do you think heaven's going to look like? What's heaven going to be like? What do you want to see in heaven? Good weather. Amen. Sunny days. I don't know. What's good weather for you? Let's be specific. It'll be okay. That's the best answer I've heard yet. It's flexible based on your... I'm feeling a little sad today. I hope it's gray, right? I need to be about 77 and like a cool breeze, or you want it like 72 and a warm breeze. You know, who knows? All right, that's excellent. What else? What's time with family. Happy people. Happy people. Isn't there a song about that? Plenty to eat. No conflict. No pain. Miss Wanda, what'd you say? Flowers everywhere. Birds and animals. Together with family that you haven't seen in a while that might went ahead. Yeah, JC. Puppies. Just infinite puppies. Just bathtubs full of puppies. Yeah, I'm down with that. I love puppies. Anybody else? What else? What is heaven going to be like? What do you hope it's like? Beautiful worship. No more war and no more tears. No more sickness. Bright colors. Plenty of food. Lots of love. Lots of light.
A wonderful choir.
A wonderful choir. We're already there. Well, my friends, part of the point is, why can't we make the world like that now? Now, there are some things that stand in our way, but we're looking forward to seeing family. Are we going and seeing family? We're looking forward to having plenty of food. Are we making sure the people who don't have food have plenty of food? We're looking forward to being together. Hey, we love puppies. Did anybody bring a puppy? Bring a puppy. We'll figure it out. Do what? Somebody needs to get lots of puppies now. Yeah, absolutely. Do what? You came close to bringing the puppy. That's right. All right. All right. This kingdom was not meant to be just a one-day kingdom. Not a someday we'll get their kingdom. Is it a someday we'll get their kingdom? Yes, but that's not all that it is. It's an already, but a not yet. So we look forward to the not yet. We look forward to a world where there is no more disease that we can't help, no more illness, no matter what it is. We look forward to a world where there's no more conflict, where there's no more rifts between family members. But we are also called to be a part of doing that now. We are called to be a part of the solution for those types of things now. We are called to be a kingdom that looks as much like the kingdom of God as possible. And it's easy to focus solely on the outside. I think it's easy, especially during Lent, because we do physical or ritual practices during Lent. And depending on your background, if you came from a Catholic background or a background that usually uses a little more ritual in their liturgy and in their times of the year, you may have given up meat on Fridays, or you may have done specific prayers on certain days of the week or whatever it is. And perhaps you do that. Did anybody decide to give something up for Lent? Yeah. All right, good. You don't have to tell us. If you blurt it out, we'll allow it. Right? I gave up vegetables for Lent. But other than that, we're going to be fine, right? I tried to tell my doctor I give up chemo for Lent. He didn't think that was funny either. But we are a part. We do this. But you see, giving up on the outside is supposed to affect the inside. Not having Coca-Cola or chocolate, sure, that might help your outside. You may think you're going to lose a few pounds, not be whatever it is you think you are, right? But the point of it is that it's helping you on the inside. When you're fasting and you're just giving up things in general, you're breaking that cycle of addiction and infatuation and whatever it may be with this item that you have. It could be media, it could be food, it could be cigarettes or alcohol, or whatever it is, I don't know, right? When you say you're going to pray every day, we're shaping what happens on the inside in a hope that we can affect what happens on the outside. And you see, this is the type of kingdom that Jesus ushers in. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 21 through 26, it says this: "You have heard that it was said to those who lived long ago, 'Don't commit murder,' and all who commit murder will be in danger of judgment." Verse 22 says, "But I say to you that everyone who is angry with their brother or sister will be in danger of judgment. If they say to their brother or sister, 'You idiot,' they will be in danger of being condemned by the governing council. And if they say, 'You fool,' they will be in danger of fiery hell." You see, Jesus doesn't say, "You were told it was wrong to murder, but that's okay." He says, "That's right. Don't do that thing on the outside. Don't commit murder. Don't go and kill. That is true and that is good." He's not reneging on that. But he says, "But you know what? It's the same as being angry at someone on the inside." Now that's, oh man. That's the kind of kingdom we're talking about. That is a difficult kingdom. He goes on to talk about adultery, and he says, "If you were told that if you committed adultery, that this would be a problem." Then he goes on and he says, "Hey, you know what? Actually, if you looked and you thought about it, now it's a problem." And you're like, oh man. Notice he didn't say if the lady wore an immodest skirt, right? He said, "If you looked and you thought." Okay? This is an upside down kingdom. This is an inside out kingdom. Because you see, the inside makes or breaks the kingdom, because it's not real if it's just an action on the outside that isn't backed up by the life on the inside. That's when we get called hypocrites in their right. We cannot say outside what we're thinking when we think a racist thought, but we don't say it outside. That doesn't make it okay. When we think a sexist thought, but we don't say it on the outside, we just think it on the inside, or we only share it with people who are on the inside of the jokes that we like to tell, that doesn't make it okay. When we go out into the world and we're angry with our brother or sister, but we don't lash out and act out on it, that doesn't make it okay. We are called to a higher calling, because you see, we, like Jesus, are part of the first fruits of the kingdom of God. We are the seeds that have been planted to grow this kingdom here on this earth. And what is on the inside is what will sprout on the outside. We might be able to keep it hidden for a while, but eventually it comes out. And when we walk around with judgment and anger and selfishness on the inside, but we keep it to ourselves, maybe that's a success at first. But Jesus has called us to a different kind of kingdom. A kind that changes what's on the inside. That isn't content with solely addressing the behavior or the look on the outside. Because that's a fake kingdom. That's not real. That's like saying, I don't see color anymore. Right? But still having the thoughts and the jokes and the words on the inside. That's a false kingdom. That kingdom does not exist, and it will come out. We are a people who are focused on changing what is on the inside. Now, the practices for Lent that we pick up, they start to help us change what's on the inside. You ever heard fake it till you make it? Yeah, it's called being a pastor. Right? Fake it till you make it. We all do that in certain elements of our life, but part of what's good about that is that we begin to behave the way we want to be on the outside, and as long as it helps shape what's on the inside is good, and that's part of our practices for Lent. So if you're picking up fasting and giving something up, whether it's, maybe it's social, let's get specific, maybe it's the type of media that you consume that makes you dislike people, okay? So if you watch a media outlet that makes you dislike a group of people, and this goes bipartisan, this goes whatever kind of ism you want to talk about, it goes on both directions of this. Maybe you don't consume that media during Lent, or ever, to be quite honest. But it's not an effort to feel good for 47 days. It's an effort to change your dislike of those people on the inside. Because Jesus says, love your enemy. Right? Your enemy. Much less the people who inconvenience you, much less the people you don't agree with. We are called to change what's on the inside. Maybe we pray for the people we dislike. And maybe that begins to loosen the grip that judgment has on our inside. In the way that when we begin to give and be generous, it begins to break selfishness and self-deceit. It's an action on the outside that helps us shape what's on the inside. You see, Matthew goes ahead a little bit further. Jesus is teaching in Matthew, and he has this about, you've heard it said, don't commit murder, you'll be in danger of judgment. But I just say to you, everyone who is angry with their brother or sister will be in danger of judgment. And Jesus even continues on, verse 23, it says, therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar and there remember that your brother or sister has something against you, leave your gift at the altar and go. First, make things right with your brother or sister and then come back and offer your gift. You see, Jesus gets extremely practical. I think sometimes we think that Jesus is all about theory. And let's just kind of get this big sweeping thing done. And Jesus is saying, look, all right, here's an example. You know that somebody's got a problem with you. Notice he didn't say, just tell them that's their problem. Right? He didn't say, just tell them they shouldn't be offended by that. He didn't say, that's just theirs to deal with. He said, if they've got a problem with you, go and make it right before you even come to worship and bring your gift to the altar. So for Lent, our question for us is, what are some of the practices that we could pick up or give up that help shape who we are on the inside? Perhaps fasting is a practice that you could pick up. Maybe it's one day a week. Maybe it has to do with food. Maybe it has to do with media or just TV. Or maybe it has to do with, I don't know what it could be. But if something in your life needs to have that hold broken so that you can be a part of the kingdom of God on the inside the way you want to be, or heaven forbid, even pretend to be on the outside, maybe that's what we break. If something seems to have too much of a grip on us on the inside, maybe it's time to give it up, or maybe it's time to be generous with it and give it away. Perhaps we think a little bit too highly of what we think as an individual. I mean, I know I do. If everybody just do what I think, we'd be fine, right? Maybe we need to pick up the practice of reading a little more scripture in our life. Maybe we need to pick up the practice of taking those things to God and asking God what God thinks about them. Maybe it's time as a Lenten discipline to say you're sorry. Maybe it's time as a Lenten discipline to tell someone you forgive. That is the kind of kingdom that gets rid of war. That is the kind of kingdom that makes your people have what they need. That is the kind of kingdom that brings families back together. That is the kind of kingdom that has bathtubs full of puppies. That is what I want to be a part of. That is my great hope for the local church, the church around the world, that we would live the way that Jesus would call us to live, that our love for Jesus and Jesus' love for us would be so evident because we are living the way that this world was already created, always created for. You see, the kingdom of God has begun. And we've been invited to cultivate this garden with God. And if the soil is the world, then it seems crazy, but we're the seeds. The gardeners and the seeds. And what's on the inside matters. And I believe that God will give us the sunshine and the rain and what we need in this analogy to make everything work. But he has also given us the responsibility, especially during this time of Lent that begins with ashes and repentance, to be a part of journeying to the cross, to be ready for that day when the stone is rolled away, to be ready for the day when we can say there is no more death, there is no more sting, there is no more hatred or war or violence or whatever it is. We have to be ready for that day, and it takes us a little bit of time as human beings to get there. So during this Lenten season, as you're thinking about, what am I going to do to be prepared for Easter? I want you to think about what has a hold of you on the inside. What might you reflect on and find that it doesn't need to be there? And then what practices might you bring into your life that help break the hold that that thing has? And if you don't know what has a hold of you, ask your wife. Ask someone who loves you and who cares about you and who watches you over and who wants what's best for you, whoever that may be. And I bet they'd be willing to help in a loving, caring, and kind way. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for this season of the year. It's not one of pomp and circumstance. It's one where we admit that not only are we not perfect, but sometimes we just get it flat wrong. And if we're going to be honest, we probably get it wrong more than we get it right. And all the times we think we got it right, we're probably guaranteed wrong. Give us your grace. Lord, forgive us of our sins. But help us so that we can be changed on the inside. So that we can continue to be the seeds and fruit of your kingdom, so that we can help it grow in other people's lives. Lord, we want to be your children, your adults, your disciples, your apostles. Give us your heart and help us find the places that don't need to be in ours. And help us to find the ways to make them more like yours. In your son's name I pray. Amen.